broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. It's the Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.
Now, here's Mark and Matt.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Refresh Your Wealth with yours truly, Mark Kohler, and my amazing co-host, Matt Sorensen. Woo, you're here. And we've got a power-packed show today. We've got a really interesting topic and guest. We're going to be talking about drone law. Now, some of you are like, a drone? Why don't I care about that? Well, let me say, would you be interested in owning a drone to make more money in your business, to take better pictures of your store location, your events, your real estate? Would overhead footage help you make more money? Or are you concerned about drones, like invading your privacy and taking pictures of you in your backyard and all this and more? We're going to be talking about it. I mean, this is somebody think drone law. What's Refresh Your Wealth doing drone law?
Man, that's how Mark got me convinced on this. That's how Mark's got me in on this. You know,
yeah, that's true.
I'm just freaked out by the crazy neighbors I got, you know, flying their drones over my house. So I want to know, you know, can I sue them?
Well, we will find out.
Yeah, we're going to. So, and, you know, luckily, we're bringing on an expert in drone law who's had some of the significant cases actually in the area, Jonathan Ruprecht. And we'll bring him on the second half of the show. But he's been an expert. He's been a commercial pilot, also a lawyer, familiar with FAA rules. We'll ask him some of the basics on what you need to know as you're operating a drone or and how people are using them. So,
yeah. And I'm going to throw this out, man. Yeah, and some of you ladies out there may be like, ah, come on, this is a guy thing. It's a hobby and all these little toys. Did you want a drone at your wedding? What's up with that? You know, are you going to get a drone footage there? You know, a party, an event? You may be closer connected to a drone than you realize in some sort of business or liability fashion. So, you know, this is multi-generational, non-sexist. This is an important topic, so I'm loving it. Okay, well, if you're new to the show, thanks for listening in. We've got an amazing website at kkoslawyers.com and the self-directed IRA handbook.com. We have regular workshops. This fall is our huge workshop series, and we're here on our podcast every week talking about tax and legal strategies. I'm just going to mention, in just a week and a half, we have our third annual self-directed IRA summit. If you want to self-direct your 401k IRA, buy Mississippi swampland real estate, you want to buy cryptocurrency, gold, silver, you're sick of your IRA being, or you being out of touch with your IRA or 401k and want to know what the rules are for self-directing, we will be in sunny California, sunny Southern California. It's all sunny right now. It's drying up, but there's a drought. But it's in sunny Southern California, just that first Saturday in August. And you can sign up at our website, kkoslawyers.com. There's a link there. It's on our newsletter. And if you can't make it in person, there's only about 12 seats left, 12 or 13 seats left in person, includes lunch. But if you want to watch online, it will be a live web broadcast. Very affordable. What's the cost, Matt, to just watch live? Just, and I want to get the recording.
$199 virtually. You can watch from anywhere, and you get a recorded copy after. This is a full day. It is Saturday, August 4th. And those that are, if you're on virtual, you can just, you know, you can, there's a chat window. You can chat in questions. We'll have other speakers who are not presenting at the time helping man that, and some of our staff. So, and of course, being in live is, in person is best. That's again, Saturday, August 4th, SDIRASummit.com, SDIRASummit.com for more info.
Yeah. So anyway, lots going on this fall, and I regularly hold a workshop, now 8th annual, in Hawaii. Whew. In December, December 1st, we will be in Hawaii. So I do it for you. So for those that want a tax write-off, this is your chance. Book your flights, come to the North Shore of Hawaii for 3 or 4 days. You can write off your entire airfare in at least 2 to 3 nights in and around the workshop. Maybe stay a little longer. That would be personal time, but there's some good tax write-offs to come. A couple hundred bucks, and I throw a luau. at lunch. It's freaking awesome. It is. This would be, I finally found a great caterer that can do a sweet luau. And I'm only trying to get Matt Sorensen to come. Are you in, Matt? Are you coming?
I'm in this year. I'm coming this year.
Yeah, he says that until the flight's purchased.
I'm coming.
Okay. All right.
I need to get my priorities in line. I'm coming. And yeah, maybe so, else, you need to come too. Find a location. You need to be there.
Yeah. Forget the workshop. You can hang out at the luau and just ask Matt questions in the back of the room. I mean, that would make it worth it right there.
You know. Maybe I'm not coming.
just running our Q&A table in the back. No, that'll be good. Okay. Well, this week, before we get to our guest, we're going to do our tax and legal tips as usual, trying to keep some little something for everybody every week with something unique. Matt, you want to throw down a tax tip?
Yeah, I'm going to give a tax tip here.
A tax tip you can actually understand and won't put you to sleep.
A tax tip that could save you thousands.
All right. Well, I want to talk about one that I've mentioned a few times before, but it's one I consulted two clients on the past week, and that is the backdoor Roth IRA. And this is one, the reason I want to bring it up is for a specific application. If you have maxed out your 401k contributions and you're like, I want to get more into my retirement account. I have my, you know, maybe I've got my solo 401k. I'm a small business owner. Or maybe I work at a Fortune 500 company or Dunder Mifflin or whatever. I got the company 401k and I've maxed out everything I can contribute to that plan. What else can I do? Well, you can do what's called a backdoor Roth IRA. And a lot of people are like, well, why is it backdoor? What am I doing here? Don't worry. There's actually been, it's actually been approved essentially by the IRS or endorsed by the IRS. There's kind of been in a gray area the last few years. We've always thought it's legit and it's nobody's ever had a problem with it, but it's been recently approved essentially by the IRS. And what it involves is you're essentially making a non-deductible contribution to a IRA, just a traditional IRA at first, because a lot of people, if you've maxed out all your other retirement plan contributions, you can't make a traditional IRA contribution. And if you're a high income person, you can't make a Roth IRA contribution. So we do what's called non-deductible. You don't get a tax deduction for it, but that's okay. We're converting it to Roth in a second here, so we don't care. So it's a non-deductible traditional IRA contribution up to the limits, $5,500. If you're over 50 or 50 or over, you can put up to 6,500 in, and then you'd convert that non-deductible contribution to Roth. Now I've got that money in a Roth. I've been doing it for a few years. I've been doing it for my wife. I love it. It's been the best way for me to build up a Roth IRA, and it's something you can do even if you're maxing out your 401k, even if you're high income and phase out for regular Roth rules. And if you really think about it, and this is something about Roth IRAs, if I told you, you can have an account that you can put money into and whatever you make out of this account, you don't pay taxes on, and you can grow this one account as large as you want, wouldn't that be the first place you put your first $5,500 every year? Mm. It's kind of like, yeah. I think a lot of people are doing it at the end of the year or like, this is like where I'm going to focus my first dollars, not my last dollars. So just think about that. And remember, even if you're high income, you can still do a Roth IRA by doing this backdoor strategy, even if you phase out. I've got articles on my website, sdrahandbook.com. Just search backdoor Roth IRA.
Matt, phenomenal tip.
Yeah. Thank you. More people need to do this. More people need to use it.
Yes, you're on the rooftops around America, just helping people. You're a voice in the wilderness.
If I get to do the tax tip, you know, one out of five times I'm going to talk about a Roth IRA.
Yeah, I know. All right. We'll keep it to a minimum, people. I know it's annoying for those non-IRA lovers out there. Okay. Well, I get the honor then of doing our legal tip.
A legal tip that you can actually use.
A legal tip where you don't feel like you have to take a shower after.
Okay. So our legal tip this week is... I'm going to highlight my amazing article in the newsletter on my blog. A contributor to that was Devin Munns, our attorney out of the Idaho office. He helped out a lot on that. And it's a great little article summarizing very distinctly what a registered agent is. What is a registered agent? Now, if you own a small business, you got to have a registered agent. You will. If you have an LLC or a corporation, you have to have one. Now, you might be your own registered agent, or you may pay someone to do it. We have a registered agent service, $125, any state in the country, annual fee. Boom. Affordable, simple, very common fee. And there's some reasons for this. Now, let me throw this out. Here's the importance of this article. There's really three addresses out there when you own a LLC or a corporation. There's the business address, the mailing address, and your registered agent address. Now, in some states, it's all three. You can do one address for all three. In fact, many people do. They'll just say, it's my home address. Boom. Mailing, street address, registered agent, business address. It's all the same. But there's some people that are like, I don't want my home address out there. I want more privacy. So I'm going to choose someone to be my registered agent. Mark, would you be my registered agent for $125? Sure, done. Our law firm, we've got connections to do this nationwide, anywhere you're at. And especially if you're not in that state anyway, you got to have a registered agent. You're going to have to hire someone anyway. We would love to do that. Cool, simple, easy. In fact, I'll tell you here in a minute where if you want to do that with us. So that's easy. But what are you going to use for your business address? Well, in California, the Socialist Republic of California and some other states, you can't just have a P.O. box for the business address. You actually have to have a street address for the business, let alone the registered agent. Well, I can't be, as a registered agent, your business address. And registered agents won't do that because it is an affordable rate because it's very isolated to court filings and service of process. So if you want complete privacy, then you've got to go P.O. box or another street address in some states to get that set, that layer. So you've got your business address, your mailing address, and your registered agent address. And I was just on the call, Matt, this week with a client. And this is why I ended up writing the article, is a client in Seattle. They said, hey, I don't want my home address out there. So you be my registered agent. I'm like, cool. So what do you want for a mailing address? Oh, well, I guess I'll go get a P.O. box. So he came back to me and he's like, Mark, P.O. boxes are anywhere from $150 to $600 a year here in the Seattle area. And he goes, I got one in Oklahoma for $60 a year when I was in the service. Now they're almost $600. And I'm like, whoa. Well, I was like, guess what? We have a mail forwarding service at our law firm where we can be your business address and we'll forward all the mail to you. $150 a year, done. And he was like, what? And so we set them up with a registered agent service and the mail forwarding, $275 a year, done. And he's got complete privacy. No one knows where he lives. And so it's very, very affordable. And that's a year, not a month. And we can do that mail forwarding up to three companies. So anyway, this is not an infomercial today, but the point is I want to let you know there's options out there. I was also at a workshop in Atlanta this last weekend, and this young entrepreneur, this girl came up to me and said, Mark, I got sucked into a Nevada corporation and they're also charging me $400 a month for registered agent mail services. And this
a month,
Matt, $400 a month. And it broke my heart. And she was she was emotional too. And I was like, they're done. They're fired. And so I don't get into a lawsuit. I will not mention their headquarters name, but it's sad. And so you guys, this can be affordable. Privacy is affordable. And the registered agent is something that you can delegate, but just keep in mind that doesn't get you out of the woods entirely for privacy. It's done. It's out of the way if you have an LLC in another state. But what are you going to list as your business address or your mailing address? And so if you want that privacy, kind of combine the two. Anyway, there's a good article on that. I added an extra video that's almost 7-8 minutes long on the difference between these different addresses. And if you want to use our services, call our office and talk to Becky Lloyd. Becky Lloyd is our director of all of the company maintenance and mail and all that. She's amazing. You just Google KKOS Lawyers Mattermark and just call the main number. Talk to Becky Lloyd. She'll hook you up.
Mm-hmm. There you go. And remember, registered agent is different than special agent Mark Kohler or, you know, FBI agent so-and-so.
That's right. No, this is on the eve of Mission Impossible coming out this weekend. So we got to be careful about registered agent, special agent.
Yeah. And, you know, it's always scary when the office buzzed me a month or so ago and they say, agent so-and-so from the FBI is on the phone for you.
Yeah.
And it's kind of one of those freak out moments. It's either one of my friends messing with me or
really the FBI.
Yeah, or somebody for a client, which luckily we don't have clients have this problem. But actually, it really was an FBI agent, but he was calling to get a reference check on one of the prior lawyers in our office who was getting a job that needed a clearance with the FBI. And so I had to do he's doing essentially a reference check. Registered agent. So you can throw around the title, put registered agent. Most people don't know what the heck that is. You know, put on a business card or something, sound cool. So be it. But probably not a good idea legally. If you're, as Mark said, you might want to pick someone else for privacy purposes. But
yeah, Fletch might do that. Yeah, I'm Erwin Fletcher, registered agent.
Erwin Fletcher, registered agent.
Yeah, pull that off. that could work. Well, it might get you, you could use it as a line and this weekend at the bar, wherever you're hanging out, I'm registered. Yeah.
What do you do? I'm a registered agent.
Yeah. Well, really?
Yeah.
These hands are lethal.
I can't talk about it.
I'd have to kill you. Yeah. And I'm going to Mission Impossible. I'm going to go watch Ethan Hunt and it's going to be good. So, well, anyway, it's so good. This is fun. Hopefully the little tax and legal tip helped you. Matt, you ready for the special guest?
Yeah, I think you're going to do the introductions here and get us over to Jonathan.
Yeah, you're on it.
Buckle up. It's time to refresh you listeners. Mark and Matt have hand-selected professionals from around the world. From successful businesses, personal stories, or hard-hitting tips and tricks, please welcome today's Refresh Your Wealth guest.
All right. Well, it's my honor to introduce our special guest today. We've talked about this a little bit here about the show as topic, and it's now time to hit it and get the ball rolling here. So we've got Jonathan Ruprecht, an attorney and a commercial pilot, an aircraft flight instructor, and the nationwide expert on drone law. That's kind of interesting, right, people? This is he's got all sorts of books out there. And this is really about these unmanned aircrafts and all the laws related to them. He's written the book Drone Operators Logbook, Drones and Their Many Civilian Uses and U.S. Laws Surrounding Them. And his most recent book is Drones, An Introduction to Small UAS Deployment for Emergency Responders. So if you own a drone, you want to own a drone, you think they're kind of cool, or you want to shoot down a drone that keeps peeking in your window in the backyard, you might want to listen up, because we're going to get the skinny on this. So Jonathan, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Hey, you bet. On that note, I'm going to say that it was kind of funny. We were in our backyard, and we were standing there with some neighbors, and this was just a week and a half ago, and this drone just came right over us and just hovered for about 30 seconds and then went over to another house, hovered, and then took off. And we're like, what the freak? Who's spying on us, And we were like, I don't know. It was cool in one sense. And then it felt like a little invasion of privacy on another. And so I thought, man, what could this drone be doing with their little camera morning, day, or night? And so I don't know. I just wanted to throw that out. Is that a big deal? Should I be worried about that? What's going on with these drones nowadays?
Well, I mean, a lot of people, I think, are freaked out about the new technology, but it doesn't actually make sense when we compare to kind of what a mass amount of data collection is already going on, especially with, license plate readers and all of these different cameras all over the place at the stoplights. So it seems really weird to be freaked out about a drone when you're completely under surveillance in all sorts of other areas. Just kind of like bringing things back into perspective. It's like, why would you be upset about that when, for some reason, that you've kind of become acclimated to?
Yeah.
No, well, let me ask this. I mean, okay, I'm freaked out about it. So, I don't like any of it. Okay. I don't like any of that data collection. If I'm on my own property, and there's a drone hovering over, they have cameras on them. What rights do I have to tell that person if I know who's operating that, or, I don't want them just hovering. They can't just walk onto my property, right? I have private property rights. How does that work though with the airspace? Do I have any rights?
Yeah, if you bring up the massive problem that no one has fully answered. So way back when some laws were passed, which put the airspace higher up off of your ground into the national air, it's in the national domain. We understand that. That's where airplanes fly. It's kind of like a roadway. We all understand that. But we didn't really have the technology at the time to fly low to the ground. And plus the regulations were saying, hey, you need to fly high. So this was a big issue that's never really been fully solved. Is who owns the lower portions of the sky, right? You have some type of private property, right, that extends up into the air. And so even the United States Supreme Court case was trying to wrestle with that, trying to figure out particular case, how high did a particular farmer own of his airspace? And they never fully answered that, and it hasn't been answered. It's going to have to get either answered with Congress stepping in or also some judicial ruling to kind of clearly delineate this is private property rights and this is, where it is, it's publicly navigable.
Yeah, and I guess if you're worried about a camera, well, there's satellites up there. How many thousands of miles that can take a satellite image of my house? And so whether they're 100 feet up
Who has access to a satellite? Sorry, I'm planning to play devil's advocate to this. you guys are kind of like, what's the big deal? I got a drone. I want to fly it over wherever I want. It seems like. But, who has access to a satellite? My crazy neighbor doesn't have access to a satellite. Or, that's just very hard to get to.
Yeah.
Whereas anybody could go spend $500 and get a drone and fly it over your backyard.
Well, guys, Jonathan, you need to know this. Here's the real problem. Matt Sorensen lives in Arizona. He's got a swimming pool, and his backyard is very sacred to him. And let me just say, Matt Sorensen has no tan lines. So is that okay to share, Matt, on live radio?
Geez, I was kind of trying to be careful about all my privacy today. I was being very cautious about this. And
okay.
I was trying to look out for people and... it's not all about
this. This is self-serving radio, Matt Sorensen's backyard. Okay, no, but this is cool. Okay, so right now, are there cases like this out there where a neighbor has sued another neighbor for infringing them upon them with their drone? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
From like an invasion privacy rights kind of thing is what you're talking about?
Yeah, have you seen anything?
I have not actually seen anything regarding specifically like an invasion of privacy. I mean, I've seen all sorts of stuff.
You could have this case, Matt. This could be your case to the Supreme Court. You could take it all the way.
Yeah.
I mean,
Sorensen versus your Trump. I don't know.
No, it's Sorensen versus your crazy neighbor, and you're going to go, you take your invasion of privacy all the way to the top.
Well, here, let me, I guess, kind of like to clarify that. I mean, so I have not seen any case specifically on that topic, but typically that's never the issue that actually gets brought up, because what happens is drone flies over house, right? Matt Flint comes out with shotgun with his perfect tan, right? Blows drone out of sky. Then there's a lawsuit over the drone either being, hey, you just conversion of my chattel, dude, and or you have a situation where, hey, you just fired off some firearm in like city limits that, this was careless and reckless. And so there's cases where that actually happened, where the invasion privacy thing was just like the thing that the catalyst for the rest of the stuff that happened.
Wow. Okay. Well, we're going to change topic here. That's an interesting one. We'll leave that one to kind of brew. Maybe we'll come back to it. So here, let's talk from a business perspective for a minute. I'm a small business owner. I might want a drone to take pictures of my real estate I'm selling or my storefront, or I'm out gathering video footage for my website, and a drone would really help me. What advice in general do you have for a small business owner with a drone? Is that a good idea for a drone? I'm not making money on my drone per se with the video footage I'm taking yet, but we definitely want to get there. But let's just say I just want to use a drone for my business. Is that common from what you see out there in the drone law arena?
Oh yeah, it's very, very common. I mean, drones are really just data collection platforms, right? You need data on all sorts of things, using LiDAR to detect small changes. You can use it for volumetric analysis. You can actually use it to actually estimate the amount of material in like a stockpile, like if you are moving earth and stuff like that. You can do 3D images of houses, and some of the nerds that I'm talking with, that they'll actually take that, export that, and then 3D model like the building, and so you can create mock-ups in a really rapid fashion. So there's a ton of business uses for drones that, you know, just that would amplify your business. And but the thing is, you need to keep in mind is that anytime you are flying it for a non-recreational purpose, then you're going to have to comply with what's called Part 107 of the regulations. So this kind of confuses a lot of people. They go, well, hey, there's these people flying recreationally over there, but I'm not making money because I'm a realtor. I'm just kind of taking a picture and putting it up, and then I make my money on the back end. You know, I'm not making money off the flight. I'm making money off the sale. The thing is, the FAA, their view on that is that, no, it's the purpose of the flight. What was the intention of the flight at that time? If it was for a non-commercial purpose, right, you're trying to sell on the back end, then you need to fly under Part 107, that set of regulations, and your drone needs to be registered. Regardless of whether you're flying commercially or recreational, your drone needs to be registered either way. But the set of rules you need to remember is Part 107 if you're flying for non-commercial or for non-recreational purposes.
So let me ask this. Okay, I was at a wedding this last week. Videographer had a drone at the wedding on a lake.
Nice feature.
A real estate agent at the wedding, one of the groomsmen, talking about how he uses one for all of his houses now. And I see it, you know, as I'm looking at real estate, almost, well, say maybe a third of the listings now have some drone footage of the neighborhood, of the house from on top. You know, in Arizona, they're always highlighting the swimming pool and stuff from that. And so so you're saying those people, you know, the wedding videographer, the real estate agent, needs to register their drone with the FAA. And if that's so, what does that involve? How complicated is that?
It's really actually easy. You can go to the FAA's Drone Zone website. And if you are recreational, then you can register really with yourself. It's $5 to register yourself. And then you put your like little registration sticker on all your drones. If you are flying non-recreationally, it's $5 per drone. So that's really the only difference. I mean, it's super easy to actually do, really quick and easy. And then if you're, so that's the registration portion of it. If you are flying under Part 107 for business purposes, then what you're going to need to do is also have a remote pilot certificate. That certificate costs $150 to take that exam, and you can study for that material using FAA free material. I also have a giant study guide up on my website. If you just type in drone license on Google and look for Rubrac Law, then I have there's an entire one up there, and you can study all that information for free, take the exam for $150, and you're good for 2 years. So you're looking at $155 is what you can kind of do it.
Now, if I'm using a flight simulator on Xbox, is that going to help me pass the test?
No, it's just a computer-based exam.
Gosh, darn it. I needed an excuse. Okay.
No, unfortunately, there's no practical.
That didn't help.
Okay.
I mean, you could bring in the Top Gun music to your test if you want. I don't know if they'll make it turned off. But it'd be kind of cool, though. You can wear the shades, and then you'll probably be like, I keep getting the wrong answer because I got my sunglasses on indoors. Like Mark Fritzl, if you're wearing sunglasses indoors, it's dark in there.
Turn on Kenny Loggins' Highway to the Danger Zone.
Can I register myself as a drone operator under the name of Goose or Maverick?
Iceman.
Okay, now this is cool. Okay, I want to reiterate that don't you love Refresher Wealth, Matt? I mean, this is awesome. I'm learning some new stuff. I own a drone. I was screwing around with it the other day camping and flew into a tree, but that's another story. Anyway, I did salvage it. But here's the thing. I did not know I needed to register it even recreationally. $5. Cool. So I go to the FAA website or just Google FAA Drone Zone, Z-O-N-E.
Yeah, you'll find it. Okay. Yeah, drone zone, yeah.
Okay, so I register my recreational drone, and then if I'm going to fly commercially for any money-making purpose, I better take the extra $150 little test, practicum test. They've got some examples there. Hopefully it's easier than the DMV. Okay. And then I take this test, and then I'm golden. Now, I understand the purpose of this is it's not a huge moneymaker. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But it's really because if a drone ends up in a stadium or in a public place and it crashes somewhere and someone's going to get in trouble, they want to know who this drone is registered to. And that's what that sticker's for. And if there's no sticker and they find out who it is, they probably have big fines for not registering. I'm trying to go through this path. Is that right?
Yeah. Okay. So technically flying an aircraft, your little toy drone, without just, this is the shocker, is that it's actually a federal felony, and flying without a license is actually a federal felony as well. So if you were to do that, you're actually committing
Mark
two felonies.
Mark just confessed to a crime.
Oh,
so, but you know what? But you know what?
Yeah.
Nobody cares. Probably because there's a lot of that going on. Okay, drug dealers. I'm going to go after Mark, the little drone.
Yeah, you guys sound like the people who smoke marijuana. Okay.
Yeah, no
one cares if you take that marijuana dime bag on the plane with you when you leave Denver. No one cares.
It's just a gummy bear.
It's just a brownie.
If you do crash and they want to find some information to kind of throw at you, that is a potential, avenue for a federal prosecutor if they want to mess with you. That's one. I mean, and also on the flip side, shooting the drone, so Matt gets crazy and takes the shotgun out and blows the drone out of the sky, that's also a federal felony. So you both can all be cellmates, right? It'd be awesome, right? And then I could come in and represent both. Discount rate, 2-for-1, man. 2-for-1. If you do it right now, and then it's 5 minutes if you act.
That's what we need, 2 felonies. Yeah, there we go. Okay, now hold it. This is crazy. So it is a felony to not register my drone and fly it, period. People need to know that. We got to put that in our newsletter next week. This is big deal, Matt, right? Okay.
Yeah.
A felony.
I haven't bought a drone yet. Jeez.
Yeah. I'm looking at the new Phantom 3. We're going to need your drone recommendations here in a little bit too. Jonathan, this is going to be good. Okay. And then you said it's a felony to shoot someone's drone out of the sky. So if I'm pissed off and I'm mad at this invasion of privacy, quote unquote, and who knows, that's for the Supreme Court someday, and that case will come, then I've got a felony if I shoot someone's drone. Wow. Any other shockers, Jonathan? You've rocked my world today already. Am I missing anything?
No, that's probably it. I mean, probably pay your taxes and don't shoot down drones. And that's
floss daily.
That's
okay.
That's floss daily. Stay in school and don't do drugs.
Okay. Well, is there let me ask this. Is there, whether it's there's a law or just kind of a rule of thumb, or maybe there's something covered on the test about how low you can go over someone else's private property? It seems like that's where you have the most complaints and gripes. Is there or is there not?
No. The FAA intentionally did not touch that issue when trying to create the regulations, because that is, I literally have a book right here next to me. It says, "Who owns the sky?" And it's about an inch and a half thick on that one topic, and it has not been answered. You think the FAA is going to want to touch that answer with or how they would answer it with a 10-foot stick? I mean, they're trying to dance around the issue, and so it's not, you're not going to be able to find any ammo, if you will, there to try to push the drones up higher, say, hey, you are trespassing. I mean, and you're kind of wondering, is this a new thing that's popped up? It's like, actually, no, the whole idea of who owns who owns airspace and overall has been a concept that's been it's been in property law for tons of ages. There's actually a case in the Southern District of Illinois or Indiana, I found, that there's a farmer was suing, I think it was the Curtis Wright Company, trying to enjoin him from flying airplanes over his field. This was early 1900s. So you're thinking this is a new thing. It's no, they were trying to figure out how to do this or deal with the airplane, hot air balloon, all these issues way back when. But here's the thing. Regulations said, hey, if you're an airplane, you got to be 500 feet off the ground. That, if you will, kick the can down the road. But now, because drones are being always flown below 500 feet, we're forced to answer that issue now.
Wow. Okay, let's talk about future. The one thought that always comes up to me as I think about this is traffic patterns for drones that are delivery. So we've got this new Amazon drone delivery service that apparently works in limited areas. Is that true? And what's going on with this Amazon drone package delivery? Is that just a sign?
So Amazon did a great job at changing, I think, the perception of drones, because everybody was originally thinking hey, they're going to be spying on me, getting my perfect tan in Arizona. But not everyone's thinking that now. It's more or less, hey, these things are actually a tool for good, that I can start ordering stuff and getting it. But the thing is, it's primarily much more marketing than it is actual reality, because when you start doing package delivery, you're going to have to get over 55 pounds typically, unless you're doing small amount products and stuff. And that's just going to start getting into all sorts of other regulations outside of Part 107, which are difficult to comply with. I mean, it's a nightmare. I mean, so you won't be seeing package delivery anytime soon for, I would say, the next like 3 to 4 or 5 years, easy. The only early adopters you might see would be where you have like very remote areas where you have like high value of things that need to be delivered in a very rapid fashion, because the other alternative would be lose, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars where someone dies, right? So maybe you have anti-venom or risk blood. Yeah, exactly. So in middle of nowhere areas, right, where you could have maybe like a hub hospital that would then launch a drone with some rare medicine to another hospital and have it drop. And so you might have early adopters like that, but you won't be paying for, you know, potato chips and a DVD or something like that. Well, Amazon, that could, no, I don't.
That could Amazon. Be an emergency, Jonathan. Seriously, you know, yeah, it's Friday night.
Hypoglycemic. I need my potato chips. And I need a video. You know, like what video you need to watch? That's an emergency. I mean, especially it's Amazon Prime, man. And you're getting it. I mean, like, what are you doing?
I love it.
I would have preferred if it was like VHS or something, right? You know, or be like, oh, it's probably not on Amazon Prime. It's probably like a classic or something.
Like that VHS tape weighs like 5.5 pounds. So they're like, hey, we can't deliver that. So this is crazy. Matt, go ahead. Bring us back to reality here. Bring us back to Earth.
Yeah.
Bring us back to Earth. Can you, I was going to.
So what, and Mark kind of teased this, I guess, a little earlier, is like what type of drones are out there? What do they cost? What should people be looking for if they're buying a drone? Yeah, what are the capabilities of them that you should look for?
I want one with my own camera, because I'm always afraid I'm going to hook my GoPro on it and then it's going to crash and I've lost a drone and my GoPro.
Yeah. So like the one thing I saw with the wedding was they had a go home button. So once they flew it out too far, and they didn't even know where the heck it was or where they were, you know, they couldn't even see it. And the camera on it, which were, like they have just a go home button and it, you push that and it flies it back. It was like kind of, I thought, a cool feature. But I mean, I don't even know how the cost, Frank, I have very little knowledge of this, but yeah. What should people look for? What are people buying?
Sure. Yeah. So this is what I tell everybody. Okay. Before you buy the really expensive one, go on to Amazon and you can buy one of those like little nano ones. And what I typically have people buy is like the Cheerson CX10, just cheer, like your cheery ha and son, like son and daughter, Cheerson CX10. They're like 15, 20 bucks. Buy that, fly it indoors. And what? It's below the weight. So it's under 250 grams. You don't have to register. Boom, save $5. Fly it indoors. Don't have to deal with the FAA, right? And you don't have to deal with like flyaways and all these other issues. Get good at flying it indoors, because it's a really dumb type of drone. So there's no autopilot features and all these things. So it's very, you get really good at your flying skills. And then once you're competent at flying that, then go purchase a larger drone. You can practice your skills using like chairs and stuff. Go buy like 2 or 3 of these and fly them around the office. But get the prop guards. Get the prop guards and extra set of props, because you will break the props. And, yeah, and get the prop guards, because that will prevent the walls getting nicked up and stuff like that. But create obstacle courses, get really good at that, then graduate up. Now, how you want to graduate up depends upon ultimately what you want to do. You just want to take pictures, selfies, you know, stuff like that. There are some good products out there from DJI. There was another one that just came out, I think, from Parrot. They're smaller drones. They're backpack portable. The Mavic is a very popular option that a lot of people are using. And so that's for like recreational, you want to do that. But those same tools, you can also use them for other things, such as if you want to do like basic search and rescue. They have used drones for search and rescue purposes, as well as for firefighting. And once you get to the higher end drones, then you can also put on different types of cameras that are different sensors, such as that have optical zoom as well as thermal capabilities. And if you have some, you know, more cash, you can throw on some LiDAR on there and create point clouds of things if you want to do like surveying and engineering. So it depends on ultimately what you want to do with it. You can have fun with it, take selfie photos. You can also use this to gather data to help your business.
Yeah, I love it. Man, this is so fun. One quick drone story. We know we can't get through a workshop of Mark Kohler or show without a drone story. This is for real. I'm not making this stuff up. I mean, I got a story for everything. So my drone story that's classic.
Drone on.
This was last summer. I had a Phantom 1. You know, Jonathan, that's like a antique nowadays. But right. I mean, this thing is a monster and there's no button to go home. There's none of that. Trust me. So anyway, I'm out there with my son last summer and he's in college and I'm like, look what I got, man. I'm so excited. And he's like, oh no, this is not going anywhere good. You know, cause he's a video game master. So me with a pair of controls in my hands is not a good sign. So I'm like, watch this thing. And then I just go, watch it. I can drive. And then it just goes off into the distance. And I went over to this, I went into this potato field, and there's thousands of acres of potatoes around us here in Idaho. And this is why I'm here, so I can have some sanity in the evenings and weekends and just be in a small town America, Main Street, which I love. And so this thing's gone. And I'm like, huh, well, maybe I'll go mountain bike tomorrow. See if I can find this.
We're going hiking, son.
So for 3 days, he and I would ride mountain bikes and go everywhere. We did not see it. Now, these drones are big. This is like at least 2 feet in diameter. These are the older models. I mean, this thing is clunky. I mean, if it hit you in the head, you would definitely, you know, it'd take you down. So this thing's a monster. Nothing. A month and a half later, this farmer at church comes walking up to me. Was that you looking for one of them drones? I'm like, yeah. That's He's like, I was in the middle of the back 40 this year, whatever, around the corner, walking through my potato field, and buried under a potato bush was this drone. And I'm like, you're kidding me. So I went over to his farmhouse, picked it up, and it was crazy. It was in the middle of thousands of acres, and he was just out there testing in this random spot the quality of his potatoes. And he's like, I never walk there. I always do random tests. He goes, 4 feet one direction or there, I would have never found it. He goes, it was under the potato plants. And I was like, wow. So that drone is like a cat. It's got lives.
It still works?
It still worked. Well, I need some new batteries for it. But anyway.
So. You got me thinking there. You know, some other things that you and your listeners might be wanting to know about is that you got to be careful on some of those flyaways because – and do proper pre-flight procedure. Sometimes it's software, sometimes it's maybe it's user. I don't know which one it was, but you gotta be careful because when those things fly away, if they crash, they have LiPo batteries on them, lithium polymer batteries, which are these like nasty little things when they catch on fire. I mean, they're like grease fires almost equivalent. You have to have a special type of fire extinguisher to put them out. And so, I mean, there has been a couple of reported cases where drones have crashed and started forest fires. So that's one thing. So you gotta be careful. Maybe what time you're flying? Is there drought conditions here? We might not want to actually, do that. Additionally, when you're charging your drone, you need to have a proper setup on where you're charging them. I would suggest outside because if one of those things does actually short out and catches on fire, you don't want that happening in your house. I mean, it's like a grease fire. Go jump on YouTube, watch LiPo battery fire, and you'll be like, oh my gosh, I kept that in my house. I don't keep my LiPo batteries in my house. That should just give you a heads up. Like, I have them outside just because I do not want those things going off inside. So that's another issue that you need to, proper user maintenance of this equipment because they're – and actually, I was talking to an insurance guy that does a lot of work with drones, and he was telling me – and this has shocked me – the number one claim for drone-related type of claims is actually fire-related. It was number one. I was like, what? I was like, you're saying like some things crashing and everything. It's fire related. I was like, okay, well, so let that be something you think about. You might want to go and get a LiPo bag and charge them outside and don't overcharge them.
Truth of that is the reason why I just kind of ho-hummed that, I need a new battery. It's because I overcharged my LiPo battery and it's dead. So I was actually, it was on my list this weekend to maybe get on Amazon and get a couple new batteries. And man, this is powerful. Jonathan, you've been wonderful today. Where can people go to get more info about drone law or drone related issues? You've got so many books, a great website. Where do you want people to go?
Sure. If they can find me on jruprechtlaw.com. The easiest way to find my study guide is just type in drone license on Google, and then you should be able to find me on the first page, just Ruprecht Law. And so that's what a lot of people have been using to go and study for the test for free. They go take the $150 test to go out and go fly, for the businesses.
Okay. So drone exam, Jonathan Ruprecht. We'll have your link.
Or drone license.
or drone license.
I'll send you the link, but yeah, drone license, I should pop up on the first page, or drone attorney or drone lawyer. I pretty much pop up on first page for most of those on Google.
Okay.
Just look for the big black circle. I mean, square with an R in the middle and just click on it.
Okay. We'll do. Okay. Well, Jonathan, thanks for being with us today. This is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Jonathan. And, of course, we will be back next week with another amazing episode of Refresh Your Wealth. And make sure you head over to refreshyourwealth.com where you can sign up for the newsletter. We're always giving out free information, articles on tax and legal topics, novel stuff you're going to want to know about, like drone law. I think Mark's got an article coming out on this, maybe, in 105 regulations.
No, Jonathan is.
How to use your drone. I don't know.
I can do that one.
Yeah, but check it out. We'll be back, of course, next week. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's eBooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.